And now on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM and 99.9 in Prescott and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A, it's Talk of the Town. Today is Prescott Downtown Partnership Day. Talk of the Town is sponsored by House Chilson & Associates, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Cottonwood Area Transit, Janessa's Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Yavapai Plumbing and Heating, Gettle's High Desert Mechanical, Augie's, Prescott Dirt, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. Now, live from the studios of KQ&A, here's your host for today's show, MJ Smith from the Prescott Downtown Partnership.
Good afternoon and welcome to KQ&A's Talk of the Town. I'm MJ Smith with the Prescott Downtown Partnership. My guests today are Sherry Shaw, owner of Back Alley Wine Bar, and Matt Broussard, owner of Matt's Saloon. Sherry, welcome.
Hi, thanks, MJ. Thanks for having me.
Matt, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, MJ? Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for coming in today. So we know, you know, with everything that's going on with Corona and the coronavirus and Governor Ducey's executive orders that bars or those holding a 6 or 7 license are closed again. So I just wanted to talk with the two of you about that today and what it's meant for your particular businesses to have this extended closure. So Sherry, let's talk about the initial closure. When you first got that, that the town was shutting down, businesses were shutting down, what were some of your first thoughts?
Fear, first of all, just, you know, fear of the virus, fear of financial loss, a fear for the town because we are nothing but small businesses downtown. I really thought, okay, 1 month, 2 months tops, we'll make it through. I was confident the town really rallied. They came to our to-go sales. And when we finally opened back up, I was feeling pretty confident.
And Matt, what about you? What was that like getting that first, you know, with the rest of the world, kind of learning about the pandemic and then knowing as a small business owner that you're about to close your doors and lay off some of your staff?
Right. I would agree totally with Sherry. At first, it was like, okay, you know, we can survive this. We can get through this. Let's get this done. You know, let's get this behind us, get back to, on our feet by the summertime and look forward to that. And we were all in the same boat. You know, that's, I tried to look at that, all of us small businesses, we were all in the same boat. Let's get through this together and we'll get open back up and get this behind us. And of course, didn't quite happen that way.
And we heard that. We really saw the community rally, right? We heard a lot of that stronger together. I know that they came out for your pop-up sales, Sherry.
Yes.
You know, that they were really trying to support the businesses knowing that you were closed for this indefinite, you know, amount of time. Then we get to May. And we're there, and you know, we get the news that we get to reopen, right. And that big breath of, you know, relief, that sigh of relief, and okay, doors, and we're gonna ease our way back into some normalcy. Granted, you know, you had to do some different things in your businesses to ensure the safety of your clientele, but I didn't hear any pushback, you know, from businesses about what they were doing in order to be able to bring people in their doors. So talk about that a little bit, some of the changes right away, you know, with opening back up in May.
Well, I opened first. I know because I served food, so I know Matt stayed closed a little bit longer. But we removed tables, we removed bar stools, we reduced our capacity. We had measures in place where, you know, you could not be seated unless we wiped everything down, and just really took measures to make people feel safe so that they would come in. Mm-hmm. Our employees, at first we did not wear masks, and then our employees started to wear masks and temperature checks and health checks. And so we did everything we possibly could to ensure people's safety.
So for people who haven't been into Back Alley Wine Bar, describe your venue. Describe what your business looks like.
We're about 1,500 square feet. It's a wine bar. We serve just wine and beer. We do little charcuterie plates and hummus plate and appetizers. Our average customer is about 55 years old. It's a little bit of an older crowd, kind of a quiet crowd. We did do live music on the weekends. I don't know if that will ever happen again, but, just kind of a quiet, we did a lot of wine tasting events. We did a lot of private parties. We did wine education, wine classes. Mm-hmm. So it was a different venue than, the other bars on Whiskey Row.
And now, Matt, I know you waited because you wanted to be sure that you weren't, you know, just trying to sidestep anything with, as a, you know, Series 6 mm-hmm. or 7 holder. You wanted to make sure you were following the executive order to the letter. So when right. did you actually reopen?
We, most of the other bars, you know, they're strictly bars, don't serve food, you know. We actually tried to hold out as long as we could for, because in the initial lifting of the executive order, you know, it was dine-in, and there was a lot of confusion initially as to what was dine-in. And then we had local officials and state officials telling us dine-in could be chips or snacks. And, you know, honestly, we really wanted to wait if we could to do it, you know, until bars, strictly bars, were opened. And so we opened on June 5th, I believe it was. And, you know, that was exciting. We had spent a few months doing a lot of renovations ourselves. You know, we had sanded our floors and painted. And, you know, so it was exciting to, mm-hmm. to get back open again. And same thing, we were doing temperature checks, employees wearing masks, limited capacity, doing everything we could to provide a safe environment for our employees and our customers.
And I'm sure both of you, you're watching the numbers, you're paying very close attention to Doug Ducey's press conferences mm-hmm. that he's holding. Tell me what that was like when you got the notice that 6 and 7 license holders were now going to close again.
That was a gut punch. It really was a gut punch because, you know, we were prepared for 4th of July. We had already placed all of our orders. You know, 4th of July is like, I mean, that's the golden egg for Prescott, you know, for downtown businesses, for all of Prescott. You know, and that's what really gets small businesses through the wintertime when there's not as much tourism and everything. So, you know, we do, you know, a tenth of our business that week. It's, you know, we're a country bar with the rodeo in town. And so that was definitely a gut punch. And we had already stocked up. We had the inventory. And to have 5 hours notice to close was just kind of took us back a lot.
I can't even imagine. I think sometimes there may be a misconception on who are the faces behind some of these closures. There may be an idea that people can just kind of push pause on their business and it's not a personal loss to them to be closed for this amount of time that your businesses have been. That it's not your business who's losing that revenue, but also, you know, just some local small business owners who are wondering, okay, I get how do I pay my business bills, but how do I pay my house bills right. under this setting? Mm-hmm. You know, responsible business owners, they always say keep 3 months, you know, in your back pocket, but we're well beyond that right. that 3 months at this point. So talk a little bit about when you're thinking and you're looking at this not knowing when are these lifted, you know, how do you process some of those day-to-day emotions?
Right.
Well, let me give you an example of my mental health state right now. I'm just going to get personal. I'm just going to throw it out there. This morning, I had to open up a can of green beans, and I couldn't find the can opener, and I broke down in tears crying. That's my state right now. I mean, the anxiety, the waking up in the middle of the night, the fear of losing my entire life savings, the fear of losing my dream. I'm 50 years old, and I finally found my dream job. I was a nurse for 17 years, and I built this from the ground up, all of it, my idea. I put my heart and soul into it, and I'm losing it. And I don't think people realize it costs thousands of dollars each month just for that my business to sit there empty. And I'm just throwing that money away. And so there has to be a stopping point at some point. I can't just keep doing that. And the not knowing is killing me.
Yeah, so this last press conference, Ducey said that he would take a look at these and reevaluate every 2 weeks. And the two of you are in the same boat as the general public. You don't get an advance notice on what he's going to say at those things. So I know, Sherry, we had talked a couple of weeks ago that you've laid off your staff, and so you were doing some hiring, some workshops, some trainings, not knowing if you were going to be able to put these people to work or when. So, you know, how do you manage that? Like, Matt, how do you manage that day-to-day of wondering, okay, I may be able to open in 1 week or I may not?
For a while, I followed the news, and I was on social media just like seeing, okay, so is today going to be the day? Because usually there's not even a notice of the press conference. I mean, the past few weeks, they've been on Thursdays. So, you know, now we kind of figure there'll be one tomorrow, but it's usually announced the day of. So, like, you're constantly, like, on edge, like, oh, are we going to be opened up today? Do I need to call my employees and, you know, let them put them on guard for this weekend? Or, you know, so it's just – it creates a lot of anxiety. I'm right there with Sherry that it's just you're on pins and needles constantly and wondering what the future is going to be.
And so what do you think, you know, as people are talking about how do we re-enter some sort of normalcy? How do we do business on, I call it the COVID coaster. You know, how do we operate on this new thing that we're all kind of riding on? How do we get back into business?
I'll go. You know, the CDC has set guidelines for restaurants and bars to reopen. Mm-hmm. There are CDC guidelines for bars, and I would just love the chance to be able to follow them. I am a well-educated person who owns her own business. I can figure out how to space people 6 feet apart, but I'm not given the chance. I can follow those guidelines, and I kind of feel like we're being made out to be the bad guy. Why is it safer to go in and order a glass of wine and a pizza than it is to come into my bar and just order a glass of wine? Mm-hmm. I don't know what the governor thinks happens in bars. I mean, right. I just give me a chance. I can follow those guidelines.
I'm with Sherry, you know, and we can, I think we've all needed to accept that, yes, and as much as I hate these words, it's a new normal. And maybe this new normal is normal for a year. Maybe it's for a couple years. We don't know. But I think we need to accept that and do whatever we can to keep our customers safe and understand that we may not be able to run our business the same way that we used to and that hopefully one day we will again.
Yeah, I think that there has been some media coverage of bars that has affected the governor's decisions. Personally, I think that. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, when they were showing that footage of those downtown Scottsdale bars that are elbow to elbow, people are dancing, you know, there's just this ruckus inside of these large nightclubs. But, you know, we're talking about Prescott and the 16, 6 and 7 license holders who are closed right now. That's not our setup. You know,
right.
That's not what we're talking about here. And I think, you know, one thing that we as PDP have really lobbied for is to bring some of that control back locally to allow our local health department and our local governments to make a call on who can open and how to do that, you know, safely.
Right.
Don't go away. We'll be right back with more Talk of the Town on KQ&A 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM KQ&A.
In this moment, who has your back? Do you know the name of your insurance agent? Does your agent know your name? Or would you call a 1-800 number that connects you to who? Another state? Another country? Get a local independent insurance agent with Auto Owners Insurance. Someone you can call when bad stuff happens. In this moment, get an agent who will protect you in that moment. Hello, this is Susan Morrison. That agent is here at House Chilson Insurance. Come see us today at 400 White Spar Road. We are one of the only locally owned and operated independent insurance agencies left in Prescott.
Want to stay nice and cool all summer long? Get Gettles. Gettles High Desert Mechanical Heating and Cooling. When it comes to fast, reliable service, the guys and gals at Gettles get it. Serving all of northern Arizona, building, remodeling, or just making sure your AC is the right degree. Call Gettles, fourth generation AC techs with the know-how to keep your AC system at its best. Don't settle. Get Gettles. Gettles High Desert Mechanical Heating and Cooling. Goettls. Visit GettlesHDM.com.
So most of you know that Prescott Brewing Company has reopened and is waiting to serve you. Our plentiful menu, award-winning beers, and a full bar to serve your favorite cocktails. We're open Thursdays through Mondays and close Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We still have our weekly specials, but switched things up a bit. Sorry, I can't tell you in 30 seconds, but give us a call at 771-2795 or check us on Facebook. Prescott Brewing Company, in the heart of downtown Prescott, where it's always fun and friendly brew pub style.
We've been through every kind of rain there is. A little bit of stinging rain and big old fat rain. Rain that flew in sideways. And sometimes rain even seemed to come straight up from underneath.
Golly, monsoon season brings sudden downpours. Luckily, Cat won't leave you standing out in the rain. Visit RideCat.com for the latest schedule and information. And please, stay one umbrella apart.
This is Steve Sishka with Olson's for Healthy Animals. Comfort level is a huge consideration these days when you're out shopping for your pet food and feed. That's why we offer curbside service at all of our stores for those of you who don't want to enter a crowded environment. You just call the number posted on the outside of our stores when you arrive, give our associate your order, and we'll do the shopping for you. Then we'll bring the order out to your vehicle and load it with a smile. If you really can't make it out of your house, we've got that covered too. All of our stores will be more than happy to deliver your order to your front door or barn, and we'll do whatever you feel comfortable with as far as stacking it or storing it. All you need to do is call your local Olson store, and we'll steer you through the order process. No fuss, no muss. Or you can just come into our bright and airy stores and shop to your heart's content, all the while socially distancing to your comfort level. We're Olson's for Healthy Animals in Chino, Prescott, Dewey, Humboldt, Flagstaff, Clarkdale, and Olson'sGrain.com. And remember, good enough just isn't.
Hi, I'm Dave Barrett. Have you ever purchased a product and then found out it was made in some far-off land? Kinda disappointing, isn't it? Same holds true when buying from local businesses. Why? Because you want to support locals and keep your money in town. Some supposedly local propane companies are really from out of state, funneling your hard-earned dollars somewhere back east. When you buy from Barrett Propane, your dollars stay right here supporting all of us. Think local, shop local, be local. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Welcome back to Augie's with a few changes. Lunch is served Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 11 to 4. Dinner Tuesday through Sunday, 4 to 8. But two things haven't changed. Happy hour, 4 to 6. With Augie's legendary great food and friendly service, with our servers smiling behind those masks. Enjoy dining on our patio, in our private room, our chef's table, or Augie's banquet room. Locally owned and operated, the place to dine on Highway 69, Augie's Frontier Village.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec Bee Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, MJ Smith, from the Prescott Downtown Partnership.
Welcome back to KQ&A's Talk of the Town. We are talking today with Sherry Shaw and Matt Broussard, owners of Back Alley Wine Bar and Matt's Saloon. And during the break, we were just talking a little bit about some of the businesses that have been able to reopen, and not that there's any begrudgment to these businesses being open, but just kind of the craziness of keeping your establishments closed during all of this. So talk about that, Sherry. We were just talking about. So for those who are listening who don't know, the only bars that are closed are those who hold a Series 6 or a Series 7 license. So if you have a different liquor license and you serve food, or you have a tasting room, or your brewery, you know, those establishments are open, and they're back following CDC guidelines, and they've limited occupancy, but they are able to open their doors and do some business. But those who hold a 6 or 7 license, those who are strictly, you know, beverage sales, so to speak, have had to close their doors. So, Sherry, we talked a little bit earlier about how when everyone was closed, you were able to hold these pop-ups, and people came in, and they really, you know, supported you. But now, with having some other options, what are you seeing?
It's really difficult. I feel like it was just very random and didn't really make a lot of sense. So I'm closed, but the two wineries right across the street for me are open. Again, I don't begrudge them at all. I'm glad people are making money. But it just doesn't make sense. They do exactly what I do. There's another tasting room in town that's open that serves wine and charcuterie plates, cheese boards, and that's exactly what I do. It's the same setup, the same everything. and I'm shut down and they aren't. And when all the restaurants are open downtown, it's hard to get people to come and buy bottles to go when they can actually just go to the place next door and sit down and have a glass of wine. I did a bottle sale on this past Saturday, and it was good, but so many people wanted to sit down and have a glass. So I sent them across the alley to the winery across the way, and they went and sat down and had a glass. And it's just, it's frustrating. It just doesn't make sense to me why it's safer in that building than it is in my building. We're doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, why there would be more germ transmission,
yeah,
you know, in one setting than in another. And I think we're seeing that. You know, you can go into a chain restaurant here in town, and you can go up to the bar, and you can sit down. Every other bar stool is closed, but you can go in and sit down and order a cocktail. You're not required to order food.
No.
And
right.
And leave. And yet, you know, like I mentioned before, there are 16 establishments who hold those six or seven within the Prescott area who are completely shut down again with no end in sight to that. So, I mean, there's got to be some frustration when you go out,
right.
Matt, you go
yeah.
out and have a drink or
yes.
have dinner, you know,
mm-hmm.
somewhere, and you see that, and you've, not that you begrudge them being open, but you've got to be going, come on now.
Yeah. Yeah. When it really comes down to the number on that piece of paper in your building, it's mind-boggling and very frustrating. But we don't, like, again, we don't begrudge those that are able to be open. I mean, they're following what they are allowed to do, and they're doing it right. And so it's just really, really frustrating.
And you had mentioned before that even with that initial opening in June, that you had already done the 50% occupancy, you know, the bar stools, the separations, those things long before it was made a requirement to do so.
Yeah, actually, when we opened, I mean, there was really no guidelines to go off of, to be honest. I mean, there was sort of like the CDC White House guidelines, but the state of Arizona never came out. The health department never came out and said, well, you need to do this if you want to be open. So we were just like, in fact, all of the bars, we all met together and we said, okay, we want to do this right. We don't want to have any, you know, outbreaks among any of us. So we said, yeah, we're all going to do limited capacity, you know, and we'll meet again in a few weeks and we'll see where things are at. Because we didn't want to see one bar packed and the other bars not and have that affect us or have it get us closed down. So we did everything that we could possibly do, you know, to do this right. And
so let me ask a question. Do Series 6 and 7 bars, do you have a lobbying arm in Arizona?
Go ahead.
unfortunately, no. No. You know, there's the Arizona Licensed Beverage Association, but they cover all licenses. But for simply 6 and 7 licenses that are impacted by this, there's not. Now, we are currently talking, both Sherry and myself are talking with bar owners from across the state to kind of start trying to have a voice and moving forward. And unfortunately, maybe it took a pandemic like this to make that happen, but I think we're going to have good groundwork on that.
In years past, you had never been targeted, so to speak, individually. There had never
right.
been a call out of
right.
a particular license holder, you
right.
know, as far
mm-hmm.
as needing different control. But if you kind of look at those businesses that are open and able to open, they have very strong lobbying
right.
arms.
They do.
You know, that right now, I mean, it certainly would help to be able to make a case that says, you know, look at us individually, not as
right.
our license holders. And, you know, we talked about those Scottsdale bars that kind of, you know, set the tone for bars in Arizona and
mm-hmm.
what people think of as bars in Arizona. And, you know, that's not our setup. So I imagine you're going, come on.
Right.
Come on, let us.
Yeah.
Let us get back.
I mean, you look in, you know, the restaurant industry. You've got corporate. You've got chains all over the state. You've got, you know, multiple, you know, ones that own multiple locations. And as far as bars, they're pretty much in general mom and pop or, you know, small business, privately owned. And that's the challenge, I think, to having that lobbying power. So it's going to take all
yeah,
of us to get together.
Yeah, we don't have a very big voice right now in Arizona, but we are working on that.
Yeah.
So that in the future we will definitely have a little bit of lobbying power.
Yeah.
And in Prescott, we all, you know, Whiskey Row, that's part of Prescott's identity. Mm-hmm. So we've talked a little bit about how this has affected your individual businesses, but how do you feel, and Sherry's the president of the Prescott Downtown Partnership, so she can speak to this from that. How do you feel this has, the closure of our Whiskey Row essentially, has affected those other businesses downtown around the plaza?
I think it's affected them hugely. I, you know, Prescott, a huge part of our local economy is tourism, especially in the summer. People come up from Phoenix to get out of the heat, and people come up because of the entire square. If there's just one great place open, people aren't going to come up. They come up for all of us. We're all in this together. We need every single one of our places to be open for Prescott to be a destination. It just doesn't make sense to me, and I am worried about our local economy. We all contribute a huge amount to our local economy when we're open. So that does worry me.
And Matt, let's talk a little bit. So we've talked about reopening. We've talked about how it feels to be, you know, the guy who's closed down. But how does it also feel to be the guy that's on the other side of the wanting to stay open? Because there is this, you know, kind of perception that because you want to open, you might be throwing public health, you know, to the winds.
Right. And you know, we don't feel that way at all. We recognize fully that we're in the middle of a pandemic, but we also recognize that it's here to stay for a while. And it could be a year, it could be a year, it could be gone next year, or it could be we'll never get rid of it. Nobody really knows right now. But we also realize we can't stay closed down forever. So if we can safely open and follow guidelines and whatever that means, whether it means no live music in our places until there's a vaccine, or whether it means, you know, there's all sorts of things that it could mean, but we'd like to be able to, because we all need an income coming in. We have employees that you know have been with us for years that are struggling now, you know, and the extra $600 a week is now running out for unemployment, so we don't want to lose them either. So we really hope we can get open soon.
You know, to reiterate what Matt said, we just want to be given a chance to follow those guidelines. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, then shut us down. But please just give us a chance. I mean, we're losing everything here. I don't think people realize that.
So I was the bad guy on the other side of this debate, you know, coming out of Prescott Rodeo Days with the Fine Arts Show. We announced that we were going to go through with the art show down at the plaza. And before doing that, we spent a lot of time speaking with local health department, with the Arizona Health Department, ensuring that we were doing all the things that we could to mitigate as much risk as possible. And when we made that announcement, oh goodness, I got some incredible hate thrown my way, because how very callous I was to care about, you know, the economy and something as flippant as an art show in the middle of a pandemic. But we really took the steps. I mean, we had CNN down here talking about how irresponsible this was. We had MSNBC down here talking about how irresponsible this was, not knowing, not understanding that we had sat down with our, you know, local health department director. We had gone above and beyond to ensure that we were doing it safely, and that we were offering people a safe place to, you know, a relatively safe place to get out of the house.
Yeah.
And we had some vendors come up to us after the show saying, I can pay my bills. You know, that's what this meant to me. This was not just a simple weekend out and about.
Right.
I am a small, independent artist. I didn't qualify for unemployment, you know, so this allows me to pay my bills. And then coming out of the show, you know, I actually had one person send me a very long email that ended with, I would have blood on my hands because of this event. And so sitting down with Leslie Horton, who's the director of Yavapai Community Health, and there have been zero cases traced back to any of our 4th of July events. You know, those outdoor events are seen as much more safe and lower risk to
you know,
transmission. But there's such a fear about this virus in general. And I think that when you start talking about reopening and you start talking about the economy, people have this misconception that you're saying it's not real or it doesn't exist. And instead of seeing, you know, okay, let's navigate this. How do we do business?
Right.
But let's do it within these parameters, and let's offer people some safe ways to do this. And that's what you're asking.
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No, I completely agree. Like Matt said earlier, this might not be going away. This just might be around like the flu. It's just going to be here. It's just an illness that will exist forever. And the world can't end over this. So we have to figure out a way to move forward with it. So that's what we need to focus on. We can't just keep shutting things down. We need to figure out a way to move forward with this virus in our lives.
You know, we agree completely. And at Prescott Downtown Partnership, we've been talking about into the fall, you know, coming up into the fall events. We've had a lot of events cancel on the square, you know, that their organization simply did not want to take on the liability of holding an event at mm-hmm. this time, or they may have the demographic of their event might be those who are more vulnerable. And we do, I think everyone agrees that we need to wrap care about around our most vulnerable community right. members. But how do we then still offer the rest of the community some outlets? So
absolutely.
Friday, we restart the summer concert series. One Road South will play on Friday at the Plaza. Mm-hmm. And we have worked really closely with the health department to ensure that we can offer this and allow people to come in and socially distance outdoors, listen to some live music. But again, we still have 16 businesses that are closed downtown, you know, that are not given an opportunity to try to navigate those waters, not try to right. navigate. And I think, too, for you, and if I was in your shoes, one of the hardest parts would simply be not knowing when that ends,
yeah.
not knowing when you're going to be able to open those doors again.
Yeah, it's a very, I don't want to say hopeless, because I know that there's always hope, but it's a very helpless feeling right now, and to not know when this is going to end. We're now on really what's going to be month four, and, you know, are we looking at 6 months? Are we looking at 8 months? Are we looking till there's a vaccine? I mean, that's what has been thrown around out there, mm-hmm. is that bars should not be open till there's a vaccine. That's just not realistic, because that industry will be gone if we wait until there's a vaccine.
Right, so what are you doing in the meantime? You wait for those press conferences. I know we all do. We canceled a meeting last week so that everyone could be there, you know, to listen and to get the latest from the governor's press conference. But day to day, what's going on in your world?
I've been trying to do pop-up sales. It's hard because, like I said, everywhere else is open. And I'm just trying to work on my mental health, to be honest with you, because it's not good. I'm in a bad place, and I'm trying to stay healthy. I'm trying not to drink all my inventory. I'm just trying to stay healthy. That's all I can do right
Doing
now.
Doing a lot of running, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. What about you, Matt?
You know, kind of the same. I mean, you know, trying to get things accomplished that, you know, you're so busy all the time that you couldn't. And then, of course, the initial shutdown, we did a kind of quick renovation and then shut down again. It was like, whoa, well, now what do we do? You know, so it's sort of like a little breather, too, for a second. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, just trying to stay positive and also try to lobby in some sort of way, you know, to try to find the right answer and to try to figure out how we're going to navigate this.
Well, I thank you both so much for coming in and being so candid with your individual situations. And Sherry, I hope you found that can opener this morning when you were looking for it.
I did.
But thank you both very much for putting kind of a face to this side of the business, so that when people talk about, you know, what's going on out there, they can have a little more personal, you know, a truth to what's happening on the other side yeah. of this. So thank you both very much.
Thank you.
We'll
for
be,
having
thank
us.
You.
We will be right back with more Talk of the Town on KQNA.
This is Bob Bean of Affinity RV Service, Sales, and Rentals, and we're proud to be a long-time local business with two locations to serve you. Willow Creek Road, Prescott, Highway 69 in Prescott Valley, and online all the time at AffinityRV.com.
Varicose veins or legs that ache or feel heavy shouldn't keep you from doing what you love to do. The Vein Center at Yavapai Regional Medical Center can get you back to your favorite activity. Our team specializes in diagnosing and treating vein disease, a serious vein-related circulation problem. YRMC's Vein Center will customize your therapy. If a procedure is needed, you'll undergo a state-of-the-art non-surgical treatment right at the Vein Center. And your care will be provided by a skilled vascular medicine specialist with the highest certification for care of the arteries and veins. An exceptional vascular medicine specialist and team. A customized approach to vein health and the most advanced non-surgical treatments. The Vein Center at YRMC. Inspired by you.
Oh, say can you see?
It's not every day you hear a British person singing the national anthem, but success is about getting the right attention. At A&E Rupographics, we provide printing that catches the eye. Get your business noticed with exciting new print marketing and signage. Quality marketing shows the quality service we know you provide. Stop by one of our three great locations or call 442-9116. Get your business noticed with A&E Rupographics today.
We're KQ&A.
Thanks for joining KQ&A's Talk of the Town. I'm DJ Phone with your Wednesday check of local and state news and weather together, brought to you by Affinity RV. After almost 7 years at the helm, Fred Vail has announced he'll retire as the executive director of Charlotte Hall Museum effective the end of this year. Vail had been a longtime volunteer at the museum since moving to Prescott in 2000. In 2013, Vail was elected to the board. Vail was encouraged to consider the permanent position, which he accepted in June 2014. As a former corporate attorney and labor relations executive, Fred Vail set about redefining roles. Vail was able to generate enthusiasm for the new education center and 100% funded from private donations and community-generated dollars. The former Northern Arizona Suns are now owned by the Detroit Pistons of the NBA. They will play the coming season in the Phoenix area, then next season will move to Michigan as an affiliate of the Pistons. Sunny, hot, and dry all weekend, with extreme fire danger, cooling overnight to a clear 66 in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey-Humboldt, warming to highs around 99 tomorrow and Friday, 94 Saturday, 91 Sunday. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, cooling after bedtime to near 73, heating up to 108 tomorrow, 110 Friday, 105 Saturday, 102 Sunday. Your KQ&A News and Weather this hour is a service of Affinity RV. Have a great Wednesday evening. Please be fire safe and stay tuned as Talk of the Town, the Prescott Downtown Partnership, continues on KQ&A.
Gettles High Desert Mechanical, the premier heating, cooling, and plumbing contractor in Yavapai County, is now hiring. If college is not for you, if you've been thinking about a job or career change, or just interested in beginning to earn now, buy that car or begin saving for whatever you have your sights set on. Come into a trade with high-paying prospects. Gettles High Desert Mechanical, your trusted heating, cooling, and plumbing partner, can be trusted for exceptional on-the-job training, resulting in a rewarding, well-paid career. Call 928-567-2200 today for more information.
Hi, this is Roxanne. Do all of you Prescott area locals know about Prescott Brewing Company's Loyal Lunch Bunch Club? It's been going on for decades now, and the only one of its kind in our community that we know of. Our Loyal Lunch Bunch card gives you 10% off your lunch and entree on your very first visit, then 15% off next, and continues up to 30% off. When you reach the end of your card, you just get a new one for free, and it starts all over again. Ask your server for your card the next time you choose Prescott Brewing Company, fun and friendly brew pub style.
You have probably heard that all good things take time, but at A&E Rupographics, we deliver great printing now, with same-day and next-day services available for so many of your marketing or personal printing needs. Don't wait a week for your print signs and custom designs. Stop by one of our three great locations, visit us online, or call 442-9116. Even Amazon can't offer that prime of a service. At A&E Rupographics, we're proud to be your one-stop print shop.
Whether it's a car accident, storm damage, or a fire, when the unthinkable happens, it doesn't matter if you saved money in 15 minutes. In this moment, it doesn't matter if your neighbor has the same insurance you do. In this moment, what matters is that your independent insurance agent and the company that stands behind them have you covered. Auto Owners Insurance, the no problem people. Hello, this is Bill Chilson of House Chilson Insurance. For the moments you need us most, call 445-4600. House Chilson Insurance is one of the last independent agents in Prescott.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, MJ Smith, from the Prescott Downtown Partnership.
Welcome back to KQ&A's Talk of the Town. My final guest today is Prescott City Councilwoman Alexa Scholl. Alexa, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you coming in. So earlier today, I was talking with Sherry Shaw, who owner of Back Alley Wine Bar, and Matt Broussard, owner of Matt's Saloon. And we were talking a little bit about the effects of these closures on their businesses and, you know, this extended closure for 6 and 7 license holders. But let's just talk a little bit about, in general, what has the pandemic meant for Prescott?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I spent quite a bit of time yesterday with John Heine and Ann Stewart from the city of Prescott, kind of talking a little bit about what the city's been up to since COVID's kind of taken over our lives. And our tourism department and our communications department has really kind of transformed into kind of a COVID consulting firm in a sense. We're just trying to be as available as possible to business owners and be just a resource, a wealth of information, point them in the right direction if they need to. For example, during the first closure, the mayor was hosting those town halls, virtual town halls, which I think were really helpful, especially that was when the PPP was just getting off the ground and there was so much confusion about how to apply for that and if I'm qualified. And so we wanted to help business owners there. And really just kind of communicating the governor's executive orders, because oftentimes they're very vague, helping people determine, does my business apply here? Do I need to be doing something different? So just kind of helping with information, getting information out, and just being a resource for business owners if they have questions about what they should be doing.
So what would you say to some of the business owners out there who may not know that this is available to them? What are some things that the city could help them navigate right now in this latest iteration of the executive order?
Yeah, yesterday, Ann was actually telling me about the Yavapai Safe Initiative, which was something new to me. And that's a countywide initiative, which, helps business owners understand what safety precautions they need to be implementing in their businesses, and then also just helping to restore consumer confidence and letting the community know this is what we're doing to be safe and you can come here and we're taking precautions to help fight this virus. So if anyone has specific questions, business owners, please contact the city. We're more than willing to help you. And if we can't, we can point you in the right direction of where you need to be.
And so you were talking about consumer confidence a little. Let's talk a little bit more about that. What are we seeing locally as far as tax dollars go to illustrate? What are people doing? What are some of the habits of the community right now?
Yeah, it's been really interesting, especially because COVID happened right as the city was moving into heavy budgeting, with the fiscal year starting July 1st. It was interesting to predict what was going to happen because, the way that tax dollars are collected is the city actually doesn't collect them. The state collects them for us and then sends us the tax dollars after they've collected it, and then we get reports from them about what's happening. And so it was kind of hard to know for the first month what really was happening. And interestingly enough, our sales tax activity had total across the board has actually remained pretty level, pretty stable. But what we are seeing is shifting. So people are now buying a lot more out at grocery stores, at Walmart, at Target, out at Costco, as opposed to going to bars and restaurants, hotels. So we're seeing decreases, I would say, more in those small businesses, those downtown businesses, but increases in grocery stores and just general stores.
Yeah, I think that would be the consensus of downtown is that these closures and these restrictions have certainly hurt those smaller businesses disproportionately to their larger chain competitors.
Yeah, I would say that's absolutely true. And so the tax data that we have from the last few months of the pandemic is pretty level, which is very encouraging to the city. We do have a lot of contingencies in our budget, but hopefully we'll be able to kind of move forward business as usual for the city. And I'm hoping that because things are pretty stable at the city, we can really focus on helping our small business owners.
I can tell you that they would enjoy that there are certainly those small businesses. I mean, when we talk about businesses like Walmart, who had a record first quarter, and then we talk about these other businesses who simply don't have that capital behind them, who are now looking at 4 and 5 months of closures, you know, keeping them from closing their doors permanently is certainly an objective of the Prescott Downtown Partnership, and I know that it is of the city as well. So how do we help them? how do we help them navigate this, you know, moving forward? What are some things that we can do?
I think we've seen some really creative solutions, or maybe not solutions, but just creative ideas of how to expand business that, that can be done. One example is the platform that Skylar Reeves has built outside of Rosa's. Mm-hmm. And so that is something that the city can absolutely help with. I actually asked about that application process. And on the city's end, it's only about 7 to 10 days, and we can get that through, and then it's up to the business owner to build whatever apparatus they choose. But we do have some other applications in the works for that. So specifically for those restaurants, if they're interested in expanding their premises, that's something that we're absolutely willing to work with you on, and is actually a fairly simple and streamlined process. So again, if someone's interested in that, just call the city and we'll get you guys going on that. And then I think just in general, we're just trying to come up with creative ways to allow businesses to stay open, to allow businesses to just kind of have some creative solutions in the meantime, hoping that hopefully in the next couple of months we'll kind of have a somewhat new normal.
So for those who listening who may not know what Alexa was referring to, Rose's has extended their outdoor seating to allow them, while they went to 50% occupancy inside, mm-hmm. it allows them to add additional tables outside, which keeps their nearly to what they were before, their operating capacity nearly to what they were before. So there are some ways to get creative and mm-hmm. and to mitigate some risks and to still be able to operate your businesses.
Yeah, yeah. And another example is the curbside parking spaces that I'm sure many people have seen downtown. There's parking spaces reserved for 15-minute curbside pickup or takeout. And we're still doing that. And so if a business wants that, we're still willing to do that just to help in any way that we can to help facilitate business downtown.
And what are some other things that you're seeing at the city? Tell us a little bit more about what you're seeing at the city as far as your planning for future projects from the city's perspective.
Yeah, well, yesterday we had a very interesting study session at council. Yesterday in our bank account was deposited our $5 million from the CARES Act. And so we had a pretty lengthy discussion about what we want to do with that money and how to make it kind of get the biggest bang for our buck. And so we've talked about a few kind of big projects that have been in the works for many years, and this may be the time and the opportunity to execute those. One that I'm really excited about is the Granite Creek Corridor Revitalization mm-hmm. Project to really kind of clean up and make that Granite Creek walkway beautiful, functional, safe, and to tell people about it and to direct people down there and to get people to walking up and down downtown, mm-hmm. Just to get people down there and in the future when things do open up to really have a strong show up from tourists and locals as well.
And what are we seeing as far as out-of-town tourism numbers? Do you have any kind of counts, you know, talking about what we're still seeing coming in from out of the area?
I don't have specific numbers, but I'm sure many people have noticed on a Saturday afternoon, it's packed downtown still. I think many people are, especially just in the summer months, our tourism from the valley, people escaping the heat, is something we're still seeing. And I would say our tourism is still very active, mm-hmm. But so in a somewhat limited capacity. When I was talking with John Heine and Ann yesterday, they talked a lot about how tourism is going to shift moving forward, that, basically, we're going to be not doing any international marketing because mm-hmm. as things start to open up and go back to normal, people are going to be doing small trips where they are just not too far from home. So we're really going to be targeting basically the Southwest.
Those drive markets.
Yes, drive markets, exactly. So that's kind of what we're looking at moving forward and kind of changing our game plan about what tourism and marketing looks like from the city perspective.
I believe Arizona has a campaign starting up where it's revisit your state, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, get out and get to some of those areas
exactly.
that you may normally pass over because you figure you live in Arizona. I can speak for myself. I lived in Arizona all of my life. I grew up in Tucson, and I didn't go to the Grand Canyon until I was an adult.
Yeah.
You know, so there's some of those things that we take it – take for granted being in our backyard. Yeah. And I do think that the Prescott and the Quad Cities are poised as a destination to be able to capture some mm-hmm. of that as people are becoming a little more curious and wanting to stay closer to home.
Yeah.
But wanting to breathe different air for the,
yes.
the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, and as we talk about where this moves next, you know, what are we able to do and how do we function within it is coming up on our holiday season because mm-hmm. that's a very important time for tourism
yeah.
and for our downtown businesses as well. So what are you hearing at the city as far as that goes?
For our holiday season events, there hasn't been much discussion about our holiday season. I think we're just kind of trying to get through the next few months. Luckily, you know, I think one thing about the Prescott holiday season is it's very traditional. It doesn't change much year to year. So those are, I don't want to say easily executed events because they are complicated, but we've done it a few times. And so the event holders know what they're doing, and I think we'll be able to kind of adjust pretty easily because they've done it so many times.
And one thing that we've seen and one thing we keep hearing is that those outdoor events are lower risk than mm-hmm. some of these other gatherings that we talk about when we talk
yeah.
about limiting gatherings. And so I agree with you. I think, you know, from Prescott Downtown Partnership's perspective, we certainly are going to move forward mm-hmm. with ensuring the lights stay on at the plaza this season as we come into it. But I know that for our downtown businesses and for our memberships that losing the summer has been you know, detrimental to their bottom lines.
But 4th of July holiday week is just a crazy busy week, and it was very weird not having that.
Not having, you know, Whiskey Row open as people were down, you know, enjoying the festivities. But we had talked a little bit earlier when I was talking with Sherry and Matt, the importance of that 4th of July weekend. Mm-hmm. You know, for some businesses, that's 10% of their annual revenue over that one weekend. So to have taken that out of their pocket, even getting them reopened here in the next, you know, however long, mm-hmm. it would be very, very difficult to get that, to make that up. You know, they're not looking to make anything up at this point.
Yeah.
It's past that. But
yeah.
Alexa, thank you so much for coming in today. I appreciate it. Thanks for giving us that information about the services that the city can assist with.
Pleasure.
I think there are many businesses out there who may not have realized that, you know, that handholding is available for them. And just let us help you walk through that confusion.
Absolutely. So, give us a call. We're happy to help.
All right. Thank you so much, Alexa. We will be right back with more Talk of the Town on KQNA.
Hi, I'm Dave Barrett. Have you ever purchased a product and then found out it was made in some far-off land? Kinda disappointing, isn't it? Same holds true when buying from local businesses. Why? Because you want to support locals and keep your money in town. Some supposedly local propane companies are really from out of state, funneling your hard-earned dollars somewhere back east. When you buy from Barrett Propane, your dollars stay right here supporting all of us. Think local, shop local, be local. Barrett Propane, the name you trust.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Welcome back to Augie's with a few changes. Lunch is served Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 11 to 4. Dinner Tuesday through Sunday, 4 to 8. But two things haven't changed. Happy hour, 4 to 6. With Augie's legendary great food and friendly service, with our servers smiling behind those masks. Enjoy dining on our patio, in our private room, our chef's table, or Augie's banquet room. Locally owned and operated, the place to dine on Highway 69. Augie's Frontier Village.
We've been through every kind of rain there is. A little bit of stinging rain and big old fat rain. Rain that flew in sideways. And sometimes rain even seemed to come straight up from underneath.
Golly, monsoon season brings sudden downpours. Luckily, Cat won't leave you standing out in the rain. Visit RideCat.com for the latest schedule and information. And please, stay one umbrella apart.
If you can't chew it, odds are your garbage disposal can't either.
This is Jeremy Rushton with Yavapai Plumbing and Heating. It's not uncommon to end up with something in your garbage disposal that was never meant to be there. We get it. So that's why right now, we're offering $25 off any garbage disposal replacement, whether it's eggshells or a pan of grease.
Uh-oh, I've done that.
It's $25 off. Call Yavapai Plumbing and Heating today at 776-7025 or visit us online at ypeinc.com.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec Bee Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
You're listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, MJ Smith, from the Prescott Downtown Partnership.
Welcome back to KQ&A's Talk of the Town. I'd like to thank my guests, Sherry Shaw from Back Alley Wine Bar, Matt Broussard from Matt's Saloon, and City Councilwoman Alexa Scholl for coming in and talking with us today a little bit about the effects of some of these closures, the effects on the city, and just to have an opportunity to hear from business owners who are being affected directly by the pandemic. So thank you so much for tuning in today. Again, I'm MJ Smith with the Prescott Downtown Partnership.
You've been listening to Talk of the Town on KQ&A. Today's show is sponsored by the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, House Chilson & Associates, Cottonwood Area Transit, Yavapai Plumbing and Heating, Gettles High Desert Mechanical, Prescott Brewing Company, A&E Reaper Graphics, Genesis Family Hair Care, Barrett Propane, Augie's Restaurant, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Olson's for Healthy Animals. The views on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Talk of the Town on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m. and 99.9 in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.